I hate the NFL. I'm done with the NFL.
You are not done with the NFL. You love the NFL. You love Jimmy GQ.
Jimmy GQ can't even do it, but I know you're just on cloud nine at this very day, Mr. Reitzel.
I am. Chucky's back!
What, they're doing another Child's Play movie?
Yeah, in Oakland.
but wait. They're only filming part of it in Oakland. The most of it's going to be in Vegas, right?
This is true. Yeah, we're going to try to get a championship before we leave Oakland.
Yeah, good luck with that.
In Vegas.
Good luck with that. Yeah, because you know as long as Tom Brady's in the league, it's going to be nobody else.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah.
You got
Chucky's got some unfinished business.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm assuming this means
someone's bitter right now. Listen to you, man.
Yeah, well, I'm assuming this means we're going to see the Raiders on ESPN every single week.
Get used to it.
Oh, God. 10 years of inferior football.
Are you ready for a rebuilding year?
Well, you got one yourself, so I wouldn't be talking too much. I've already gone on record with our good friend Murph. And said, next year might actually be the Chargers' year in the AFC West.
We'll see. We'll see if their quarterback can, keep up with the rest of that team.
Yeah. Well, we do have a lot of things to talk about, so should we just get right into it and dive in deep into the end zone, my friend?
Yeah, let's do it, man.
Okay.
Divisional round.
But I guess before we do any of that, we need to take care of a little business first. Of course, this is the End Zone, everything you need for the NFL here on the Fandom Podcast Network. And, of course, you can find the Fandom Podcast Network on, our homepage at fpnet.podbean.com. You can also use the Podbean app to find our shows on any of your mobile devices. Of course, we're also on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play if you use an Android device, or any other podcast catcher out there. Yeah, I'm a little off this week. You'll understand why in a minute. You can, of course, visit our Facebook page at the Fandom Podcast Network. If you have any input, you want to talk a little trash to some other team, you want to talk trash on John Gruden, you can email the Fandom Podcast Network at gmail.com. Wow, I didn't even get a comment from Kevin. He must be on cloud nine.
You were on a roll. I just thought I'd let you do it.
Of course, you can find us on Instagram at Fandom Podcast Network, on Twitter at FanPod Network. Of course, I'm Kyle. You can find me at AKyleW on Twitter and on Instagram at AKyleFandom, a.k.a. Brokenhearted Chiefs fan. Kevin, where can people find you on Twitter?
At Spartan_Phoenix.
And that also works for you for Instagram, does it not? Or are you changing it to Chucky's Love Child?
That's actually a good idea. But for now, it's at Spartan_Phoenix. it's funny. I was playing a Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered yesterday. And it was so funny because there was this guy that killed me on this map. And I found out where he was hiding. And I went up and killed him again. And then I found him again in another area and killed him again. And he was like, his tag was like diehard Chiefs fan. I took a little extra pleasure in that, just so you know.
I'm sure you did. Well, before we get into, because we talked a lot about Gruden last week, and
we're going to talk a lot about Gruden this week.
No, this is the End Zone, not the John Gruden show, Kevin.
Oh yeah, no, this show is going to be about the John Gruden show.
No, we did that last week.
We'll do a little recap first.
Yeah. So we'll just kick it right off. Yes, my beloved Kansas City Chiefs blew it against the Tennessee Titans, giving up a 21-3 lead at halftime to lose 22-21.
Did you guys move to Georgia?
No, that's all Falcons and Bulldogs. Sorry.
Because, that lead that you had, I figured maybe, you relocated to Georgia.
Wait a minute.
Georgia teams love to have a lead and then give it away.
That's true. But, be careful with the trash you talk, because who at least made the playoffs? Playoffs!
This is true.
So, okay, time to get out of the doldrums. It's time to be realistic. First of all, I make no excuses. That game was the perfect summation of the Kansas City Chiefs this season. In one half, they looked like world beaters that could beat any team in the NFL. And that's how they looked at the start and end of the season. But in that second half, they became that conservative. Alex Smith can't throw the ball more than 2 yards, completely forgetting about Kareem Hunt, which is what happened when they had their losing streak in the middle of the season. There is some work to be done in Kansas City. Now, Kevin, there is one thing I do want to address, and I know we've talked about this outside of the studio, but even you agreed with me. There were a couple of pretty big calls in that game that did, I don't want to say affected the outcome of that game, but could have swung some momentum in that game.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it's the reason why the Chiefs lost, but it was huge, though. Like the Mariota non-fumble that can't be challenged. This is one of those things that I want to see change in the NFL. Stuff like, I think anything should be challenged. Any call, anything. I don't care about this darn whistle rule thing. If it shows that he fumbled it, and you know that stuff like that should be challenged. Well, I think that's
and for
ridiculous.
Those of you who may not be 100% sure which play I'm talking about, because there's a couple plays with Mariota involving a sack and a fumble. This was the first one where it was right before Tennessee kicked their first field goal of the game. There was a clear sack of Marcus Mariota, and he clearly fumbled the football. And yet, the whistle blew, not because he was in the grasp. Now, Kevin, if you remember this play, Derek Johnson leveled Marcus Mariota on this play.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And again, you know, I could have maybe rolled with it. Okay, they're calling him in the grasp. No, what the call was, his forward momentum had stopped. Have you ever heard of that on a sack?
I know, yeah.
And it was clear that he fumbled the ball. Casey would have recovered. There would have been no field goal, hence changing the score, the final score, by 3 points. But, okay, fine. Whatever. There was a second sack of Mariota on a 2-point conversion where he, again, fumbled the football. But, again, not he was in the grasp, which, especially in that play, Kevin, I could have rolled within the grasp because he had been run backwards several places. No. The whistle blew again, and his forward momentum had been stopped. I'm like, where has this come from? I have never heard of this on a sack. And, of course, on that play, Mariota fumbled again. Kansas City picked it up and actually ran it into the end zone, playing on the safe side, which would have been a 2 points for Kansas City on the 2-point conversion play.
I wanted to let you know that even though you're a Chiefs fan, a lot of other people noticed these really weird bad calls. And the referees have been criticized for these controversial calls. And former NFL Vice President of Officiating Mike Piera, who's employed by Fox, not the NFL anymore, he has generally been honest with his criticism, and he says still his blunt comment about the officials after the Tennessee Titans 22-21 win over the Kansas City Chiefs in the first game of the NFL postseason was startling. And he went to Twitter saying, "Horrible way to start the playoffs. I hate to say it, but this was not a good performance by the crew. Teams and fans deserve better." And they go on to talk about the stuff that you had mentioned, and yeah.
Now, as far as the game itself, yes, I was feeling really good when Kansas City got that touchdown to take a 21-3 lead right at the half. But there was something sticking in my craw that had me worried, and that was the Travis Kelce concussion. Because I knew as soon as I saw him try to get up from that hit, he was done for the game.
It almost seemed like that affected the team as much as my Raiders were affected when last year, when Carr broke his leg.
Well, Travis Kelce,
because they ended up losing the next two games. They made it into the playoffs. They backed up into the playoffs without Carr and injuries riddled, and they lost to the Houston Texans. It seems like your team got affected. I don't know what.
I think it was very much affected Kansas City in the aspect of this. Yes, there's Tyreek Hill. Yes, there's Kareem Hunt. But Travis Kelce is really the engine that makes that offense go, because he is a matchup nightmare for anybody. Tennessee didn't have anybody that could cover Travis Kelce. He's the closest thing in the league to Gronk, where it's just impossible to really truly cover him. You can't put a linebacker on him because he'll outrun a linebacker, but he's too big for somebody in the secondary. So I think that was a big impact on Kansas City. And I'm going to say right now, I really think the Marcus Mariota throw it past the line of scrimmage, in my opinion. I know I've talked to some other people say, no, his whole body wasn't past the line of scrimmage. Have it deflect off a Chiefs player, go up in the air, Mariota catches it and scores a touchdown. I really think that knocked a lot of wind out of the Kansas City Chiefs' sails.
Yeah, that could definitely do it. I think Kelsey's also the heart of that team.
Oh, I think so. I think more than anybody he is. But, you know, I just because we kind of wrapped up on your Raiders at the end in last week's episode, I kind of just want to wrap up on Kansas City and talk about what they need to address in the offseason. First of all, they do have a lot of key players who were on injured reserve this year. Their starting center, Mitch Morse, who was a big key in their running game, and they really did struggle in the running game for weeks after he went on IR. D. Ford, who was one of their pass rushers, was injured most of the season. Obviously losing Eric Berry, who is the heart and soul of that Kansas City defense, and they were not the same after he got injured. They also lost a wide receiver, Conley, who was actually really coming into his own this season before he blew out his Achilles in the Houston game. There is also the quarterback situation, and I'm going to say this. Alex Smith had a great regular season for the Kansas City Chiefs, and he's been a great quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs in the regular season. I don't know what it is about Alex Smith, if it's he is just afraid to make audibles or take risks too much in the playoffs, which is very much reflective of Coach Andy Reid as well. He just doesn't seem to get aggressive in the playoffs. He got the lead, he played aggressive, and then all of a sudden in the second half, he just could not make a play. He could do nothing. And I think Kansas City, with what they need to address in the offseason, their salary cap issues, I think they are going to attempt to trade Alex Smith. He's in the final year of his contract. I think a lot of teams would jump on him. Arizona comes to mind very quickly. And they've got to begin the Patrick Mahomes era in Kansas City.
Is that what you want?
I think it's what's best for the team. I think next year will be a bit of a down year for the Chiefs compared to the last two seasons. But they've got to make several changes. I think it's time for a major overhaul of the defense. I think there's a couple of building blocks there, but their scheme is not working anymore. Their player, they've been relying on some pretty old players now for a while. I love Derek Johnson. I hope he sticks around for one more season, but he's on he's 36 years old. Tamba Hali is very much overpaid at his age now. He might be able to be signed as a pass rush specialist, but he can't stay healthy anymore. One of their better young defense players, Chris Jones, got injured in that game, and there was a big difference on the Chiefs' side of the ball. It turns out he tore his MCL, so he's probably not going to be back till midseason next year. Justin Houston, he's still a little bit on the young side, but he has some mileage. Marcus Peters, obviously, when he has his head on straight, getting Eric Berry back will help. But they've got to find some pass rush. They've got to fix their defensive scheme. And the other big hit was offensive coordinator Matt Nagy, who I don't care what anybody says and what he says. I think that Andy Reid called the offensive plays in the second half of that game, because when Matt Nagy was calling the plays, they came back to life on offense from when they were struggling. But he has moved on to become the Chicago Bears head coach, which we'll talk about in news. But just about an hour ago, the Kansas City Chiefs named running back coach Eric Bieniemy as their new offensive coordinator. This would be a good thing if he is going to argue with Andy Reid to not let him forget about Kareem Hunt. Because Andy Reid has a tendency to get pass happy. And when you have the NFL's leading rusher and he only touches the ball 11 times in your playoff game, there's a problem. But
yeah, that was surprising.
I do think, realistically, Kevin, I think next year is going to be very interesting in the AFC West. I think it's the Chargers' year to get their act together and do something. I think your Raiders are going to be on a little bit of a learning curve as they get adjusted to Gruden. They've got some issues they've got to address. We're going to be playing a young quarterback who I think is going to be a good quarterback, but he's still going to need some time. And they've got some things in Kansas City they have to address. So I think next year really, and Denver just needs a quarterback period among other things. But I think next year the Chargers should go into the season the favorite to win the AFC West, because that defense is only going to get better. And if Keenan Allen can stay healthy and they can find a kicker,
Yeah, but they're the Chargers.
I know, that's the thing. The Chargers are their own worst enemy.
They're always like Georgia teams. They always find a way to lose.
Yeah.
You know, they'll get a victory here and there and upset someone and stuff, but it's I still see it as more of a Chiefs Raiders.
Well, and I was realistic thing, about the Chiefs. I did not think they were a Super Bowl team, not with their defense this year. But losing to Tennessee at home hurts. That was a painful loss, but Tennessee's going to get shellacked by the Patriots this weekend. So
yeah, you guys should have won that. You guys had a nice lead there, but Tennessee fought hard, and with some lucky calls, they were able to get back into it. So, well, let's look at the other games that played. After that, we had LA Rams hosting Atlanta. A lot of people had the Rams favored in this one, but Atlanta defense stepped up, man.
No, Atlanta defense stepped up, and I think just playoff experience for Atlanta. This is the aspect of a young team like the Rams who really only had one or two guys who had been in the playoffs. I think there were some playoff nerves. I think Atlanta just had that veteran savvy, and I think Atlanta's a lot hungrier than people think. And I got to be honest with you, Kevin, the way it's set up right now, I think Atlanta is going to be in the NFC Championship game.
Well, that depends on a few other games, of course, but they don't look as strong as they did last year. But like I said, it's hard to tell. If you go in to the playoffs playing hot and keep up that momentum, you could pull a Giants.
Yeah, exactly.
when they squeaked in and cleaned up house and ended up winning the Super Bowl a couple times there. Then we had Jacksonville at home beating Buffalo 10-3.
Kevin, I have to ask, if a quarterback throws a touchdown but nobody notices it, is it a touchdown? Because nobody was able to sit through that Jacksonville Buffalo game.
I know, right? I feel bad for the Buffalo Bills fans that waited 20 years to see them squeak into the playoffs and then only score 3 points.
Yeah, well, in Buffalo, I'm happy they made the playoffs for the Bills fans. I didn't think they were going to beat Jacksonville. Buffalo's got a lot of issues that they need to work out. They kind of squeaked into the playoffs. I think if there would have been certain teams that would have been healthier this year, Buffalo probably doesn't make the playoffs. But, Jacksonville, that defense of Jacksonville is amazing, but talk about a place where Alex Smith could probably go and make them a Super Bowl team.
Yeah.
Because anything is better than Blake Bortles at this point.
You've been pretty tough on him.
Well, here's the thing. I just look at him, and the way he plays, I'm not saying he shouldn't be in the league, but he's not a starting quarterback, Kevin. I mean, what I did watch of that game, even Tony Romo was having a hard time trying to say nice things about Blake Bortles.
he's an ugly quarterback, in his play. He's just...
And like I said, if they played in London all the time, it'd be a different story, but...
Well, I forgot which analyst that it was. It might have been, Maurice Jones-Drew or someone was saying that Alex Smith could do well in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I can think about three or four teams that are going to probably be looking into the Alex Smith Bowl in the offseason. But you know what, Kevin? I think the last game, which I think definitely the most entertaining game of the weekend, also featured probably the hottest team in the NFL right now. And that was New Orleans beating Carolina 31-26.
Yeah, I expected New Orleans to win that game. I thought they might win a little bit more than the score was, but Carolina was able to keep it competitive and make it a good game.
Yeah. No, it was a good game. Cam Newton played a very good game, but this is a New Orleans team that I've never seen be so balanced on both sides of the ball.
It's a good point. Yeah,
they're playing great defense. I mean, they're running the football, and Drew Brees is still Drew Brees.
Yeah, and they got two great running backs.
Yeah, they're just loaded.
Teams would kill for that.
And I think they will be involved again this coming weekend with the best game of the upcoming playoff weekend as well.
Yes, and we'll talk about that.
So. overall, I think the first weekend of playoffs, solid, obviously disappointing for me on a personal level, but you had a couple pretty entertaining games. You had a really dog of a game, and you had a game that was just kind of there, I think, in the Rams-Atlanta game. But kind of went outside of Tennessee, I think it went, there was no real arguments about it. I mean, a lot of people had the Rams, but I don't think people were surprised by Atlanta winning. New Orleans, I think most people had that, and I think a lot of people had Jacksonville beating Buffalo. So,
yeah, yeah.
But, and now, of course, there's really no standings to talk about, per se, or really power rankings.
No, we're beyond that now.
So
we're in the playoffs.
So I guess we better go to the news. And I guess, in other words, we're going to call this the top story is the Panthers firing their offensive coordinator, right, Kevin?
Yeah, sure, that's the top story, but we can start with that if you want.
Or is it the drama, the soap opera drama going on with the Patriots?
Yeah, how much is that fabricated?
We'll see. Oh wait, it's the Bears taking Kansas City's offensive coordinator to be their new head coach, right?
What's up with that? What did they see in that to make him a coach?
A lot of people were high on him, because of what he did with Alex Smith this year, and I think the Bears figure they have Trubisky and a young quarterback, but I really think this is a guy who was probably going to be a head coaching material a couple of years from now after a little bit more seasoning, but I'm a little surprised ready, but I think a lot of people are trying to catch lightning in a bottle and get the next Sean McVay. And we'll see
about that.
But there was that minor, not even a drop in the water story. It's about something about the Raiders hiring some washed up old former NFL coach.
washed up, whatever. Tucky's back. The Gruden is back in Oakland, man. Yes. Just watched news conference today, Tuesday, January 9th, welcoming John Chucky Gruden back to the black hole. And it was great. It was cool because not only was all the press there, but they had all these Raiders alumni there, you know, including Charles Woodson was there and Howie Long and Tim Brown and it was great. It's great. And I was still distracted by Mark Davis's haircut.
I think him and Gruden should get the same haircut.
But yes, John Gruden is back. Rumored contract 10 years, 100 million. He's excited, and he's already picked up some coordinators. Got Greg Olson from who used to be a coordinator for the Raiders, and he's recently
picked up a lot of guys who are on his Buccaneers staff already.
Yeah, well, you know, people he likes and he trusts, you know, so he's gonna round that out. Okay. I liked how he said there's someone that asked him about Marshawn Lynch, and he said, I haven't met the guy yet, you know, not even when I was broadcasting, haven't had a chance.
Well,
to
we
meet
know Marshawn
yet,
but, doesn't talk to broadcasters.
This is true. So, but he's looking forward to talking to him. That'll be interesting to see how that goes. It's interesting how he kind of deflected the whole distraction of the protest against the national anthem. I'm curious how he's going to handle those shenanigans. So,
okay.
But he's excited about getting together with Carr. He sees Carr as this clay that he's going to mold. You
okay.
Know?
Okay. Now I'm honestly not trying to be the bubble burster because I think the NFL is better.
Yeah, no, you are.
I think the NFL is better with John Gruden on the sidelines than it is in the booth. I think
Don't even go into the he hasn't been
a coach in a long time. I'm not going there.
I doubt his experience now. The game has changed.
No,
whatever.
I'm not
Come
going
on.
Into that. We discussed that last week. I have been through the whole Gruden experience here in Tampa. I've seen the ups and downs of it. But here's the thing, Kevin. I'm going to ask you if, as a Raider fan, today of all days, can you be realistic? Because I see the Raider people on Facebook, and they've got themselves already hoisting the Lombardi Trophy now that Chucky's back.
Oh, no, they don't. They do. I've not seen any. I have not seen that at all. No one, and trust me, I am deep in with the Raider fan base, the Raider family. No one is hosting the trophy. No one is saying we're going to win a Super Bowl next year, because this last season was very humbling for all Raider fans because of what happened last year compared. And this is, by Raider fans, this has been voted as probably the most disappointing season of over the last 20, 30 years because of the pieces that we had in place. But no one is hosting that trophy right now. We are excited to have him back because fans loved him. He did not want to go. He was fired by Al Davis, which a lot of people were upset about. But no one is, everyone's, what you're hearing and what you're hearing from Raider Nation is that we're happy to have him back. We liked him as a coach. We thought that he was a really good coach. And right now we need something to, you know, look forward to, and this is the best way to start off the rebuilding season here. But I have not seen anyone saying, we're winning a Super Bowl. We're going all the way. No. We learned our lesson.
Okay, so then let me ask you this. I mean, and throwing out, I do think Gruden has a little bit of a learning curve just to get back into being a coach, because I don't care what profession it is. You're 9 years away. You got to get real. Okay, the league should change. I'm not saying it's passed him by. I'm not saying that. But you've got to get yourself back into the groove. I mean, yes, he's been in the broadcast booth. He's been doing QB camps, all this stuff. But it's still a difference than being a head coach in the NFL. But what I'm asking is this, Kevin, because we've talked about this last week. The Raiders do have some legitimate issues on the personnel side and things they need to address. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
What do you think year one is realistic for what Gruden will bring to the Raiders? Do you think there's going to be maybe even what appears to be like a step back in record as they learn his system and he incorporates things and where it's a step back, but you see improvement in how they play? And then year two is really once they've really got that confidence and that real feel for Gruden's system. Because that's one thing, even I can say here, even in Tampa, what helped him here was that he had a real veteran quarterback in Brad Johnson and pretty much one of the best defenses of all time just really hit the ground running in Tampa. In Raiders, it did take him getting Gannon comfortable. Do you think it's a season of kind of learning, a feeling out process?
Yeah, I don't see them going deep into the playoffs next year, but I see them improving because there's all kinds of things that I think I see happening. I think he can get rid of some people that aren't team players. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Lynch doesn't come back if he sees Lynch as a distraction. Same thing with Crabtree, I also see him looking at free agency, because I think free agency is going to be very interesting this year, because I think people are going to want to come play for the Raiders too. But also the draft, there's that coin flip for the 9th and 10th spot that the Raiders are going to have with the San Francisco 49ers. I think they're going to be looking at that number very carefully and figuring out what is the most important need on this team right now. Here's the thing. Del Rio was able to change the culture, or at least start the change. But what happened was he took a step back when he started losing them and realizing, you know, what they were at the year before. And I think Gruden's the man that's going to help bring that back. And when you can first of all come in the way that he does, he knows the Raiders, he knows the facility, he knows the fans, and I think that when it comes down to it, he's gonna hit all those facets and be able, you know, with the help too. And one of the things that was interesting in that press conference was that someone had asked who is gonna be bringing in the talent, you know, are you going to, or he was, they were asking whether or not Gruden was going to have a hand in choosing who was going to come play for the Raiders, whether it was the draft or free agency. And he said, basically, we're going to do this together with Reggie and I, you know, and we're going to work together as a team. And that's why I came here. And this is what's understood. And so, that's not word for word that he said, that's basically what he said. And I think that, I think Reggie understands this, and I think is going to work well with Gruden on this. But you're right. We've got a lot of stuff we got to work. You know, our defense played a little bit better in the latter half, but we still got corner issues, you know. Car needs to be fixed. We got a car that needs to be fixed. And I think that's one of the first things that is probably one of the most important things that Gruden is going to work on. Whether it's Gannon, if he is going to come in as the quarterback coach, but that's one of the things I think that Gruden is really excited about, fixing Carr and working with him. I think that he can do that.
I have a question about that. And I'm kind of having a little fun here. So bear with me, but I think it's a little bit. Is Derek Carr too nice to handle Chucky?
You know, that's actually one of the things that a lot of the radio podcasts, the radio fan podcasts, have been talking about. You know, because he's a man of faith. Chucky's really in your face, colorful language. Whether he can at first or not, he's going to have to learn. You know, I think with age comes wisdom, because I know that Gruden will learn to work with him. And you know, if it means cutting back some colorful language, maybe that's what it means. You know, if that's something, you know, that does bother Carr. I don't know. I'm just speculating.
Yeah, it's all speculation. But, I mean, I find it a little funny, but on the other hand, too, I mean, I know how Derek Carr is. I actually do have a lot of respect for Derek Carr. I know what he went through with his son, everything like that, and he is a good guy. So I do have respect for Derek Carr there. But, you know, Chucky is Chucky.
I think Carr's excited to work with Gruden too. You know, they had a meeting before the press conference, and I think that Carr knows what it means to work with him and to have him be the coach. So, you know, I'm not saying that Gruden's going to be the answer, but I think he's one of the pieces of the puzzle that needs to come back together again and make this a cohesive team.
Well,
again.
And I think, even though with Gruden here and you talk about how important it is he works with Carr, I still think for you guys, priority number one, and it was priority number one whether Del Rio was going to stay or Gruden's coming in, you got to take care of Khalil Mack.
Oh yeah, I think that's probably going to happen. And then, you know, I'm curious though to see how they're going to handle Cooper, but Mack needs to be taken care of, and I think they'll do that.
So. Okay, let's kind of go back and rewind it here. I was making some fun, but I think we have to address at least a little bit of this Patriots story, because you know what? The reason why I say that, Kevin, is here it is, Patriots time, playoff time, and now the Patriots are in a controversy. And you know, why does it always seem like when the Patriots are in a controversy, that's when they win?
What's the controversy again? I wasn't really caring.
Well, the whole controversy is apparently about the Jimmy G trade, and how there was a big rift between Belichick and Kraft over whether or not to trade Jimmy Garoppolo, and that
Belichick wanted to keep Garoppolo.
Correct.
Right?
Belichick wanted to keep Garoppolo because he figured Tom Brady at 40, 1 year most left, franchise Jimmy Garoppolo, let Brady play one more year. Then, you know, Belichick's cold-hearted. I say what you will, but that you got to be an NFL coach. A lot of people are saying Brady orchestrated went to Kraft and orchestrated the Jimmy G trade. Because the rumor is that the Cleveland Browns called Belichick and offered what turned out to be the fourth pick in the draft for Jimmy Garoppolo.
And a bunch of other stuff too, right?
Right, but at the time, that apparently this trade offer was made, Houston was 3-4. Deshaun Watson wasn't hurt yet, and he was looking like a world beater, and like Houston might be a playoff team. So that number one pick didn't have quite the value. The other thing is that apparently Belichick had already made up his mind if he was trading Garoppolo, he was going to trade him to his friend Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco, where he thought it was the best fit for Garoppolo to do Jimmy G a favor because he figured he did not want Jimmy Garoppolo signing with an AFC team to come back to haunt him. He thought if they traded him to Cleveland, yeah, he gets franchised for a couple years, but then guess what? He's going to sign with some AFC team that he can haunt the Patriots for trading him to the Cleveland Browns. So,
Yeah. Okay.
So apparently there was all this talk of all this rift, and all three of them put out this joint press release and all this stuff. I'm not saying the entire story is true, but where there's smoke like this, there's usually at least a little fire. And
right.
This has been a different Tom Brady we've seen this year. This is a guy who's all into his TB12, his avocado ice cream, has this crazy trainer now that's been banned from the Patriots campus. I mean, so I think there's a little bit of smoke there. One of the interesting rumors that has started out of this, I would be absolutely shocked if this happened, but could you see Bill Belichick leaving the Patriots and making his final run coaching the New York Giants, who do have a vacancy, going home again?
After this season? No, yeah. I don't. I don't know how long his current contract is, but I mean, you know, this team is one of the most professional teams out there, and they're a dynasty. And well, you know, I'm sure every team and family has their little quirks and problems and, you know, personnel issues, but some get reported on it more than others because of who they are. I think they got their eye on the prize, and they're looking for another championship, and they're the team to beat until they do, you know.
I think the interesting thing will be in the offseason is how the Patriots handle the backup quarterback position.
Yeah, who's their backup now?
Brian Hoyer.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And if you remember, right. I think if the Patriots could go back to the beginning of the season, they would have never traded Jacoby Brissett to the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah.
So, well, shall we take a look ahead, Kevin, to this upcoming round of divisional playoffs? Because we've got some games.
Oh, yes. This is where the teams that earn the bye have to start working again.
Absolutely. Now, the first game on the 13th, which is Saturday, at 4:35 in the afternoon, is Atlanta.
Eastern time.
Is Atlanta at Philadelphia. Kevin, like I said at the beginning of the show, I think Atlanta's going to be in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, this is interesting because they're favored, you know, because there's no Carson Wentz. You know, they're at Philadelphia. You know, their backup quarterback's not bad. They still got a decent defense and running game here. So that's going to be an interesting game to see if Atlanta can pull this upset off. Well, it's not really an upset if they're favored, but, you know, going into the playoffs, you know, we felt they kind of squeaked in there, but put up a dominating game against the Rams at their house. So they're going to have to do the same here at Philadelphia. But this is what's interesting about these NFC teams that that turn it on and get hot. You know, they have to always travel. Yeah. You know, and I always keep bringing up those giant Super Bowl winners, you know, that beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. They had to travel and win, you know, and they were wild card teams, you know, and I love this stuff. That's why I love the wild card stuff. Those are great stories.
And then the evening game, which, yeah, this is very tough for me because I really don't want New England to win, but I can't root for Tennessee after they beat my Chiefs. The Patriots are favored by 13.5 over the Tennessee Titans.
But you're still rooting for Tennessee.
I this might be just something where I go see. Is there any movies opening this weekend?
Yeah, you know, this is where you know New England's going to use their bye and get healthy and start to turn it up here. And I think New England's going to kill Tennessee.
Yeah, I think Tennessee spent all their magic against Kansas City. They don't have the skill position player. They shouldn't have been able to keep up with Kansas City like they did. Like I said, I think it was more Kansas City beating themselves than Tennessee winning that game. But Tom Brady's going to just destroy them. You're going to see New England in the AFC Championship game where they will meet the winner of the 105 game on Sunday where the Jacksonville Jaguars travel to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Let me ask you about that line. Pittsburgh's favored at home by 7.5. Do you think that's realistic?
I think that's very realistic. And the reason why I say that is warm weather team going to a very cold weather city.
This is true. This is true. I just, that Jacksonville defense is still pretty good.
That Jacksonville defense is amazing. It's, in my opinion, the best defense in the NFL. But here's the thing. I'm obviously not sold on Blake Bortles, but even Leonard Fournette wasn't that impressive against Buffalo. And you know Pittsburgh is going to key on Leonard Fournette and say, okay, Blake Bortles, try and beat us. Now, remember, Jacksonville did beat Pittsburgh earlier in the season, but it's a different monster in the playoffs, especially at Heinz Field. I think Jacksonville has the best chance of the underdogs to really, of the major underdogs to pull an upset because I think their defense, and then the playoffs defense can sometimes do things, and you never know when Ben Roethlisberger.
Are you talking about all the underdogs listed or just the AFC?
Just the AFC underdogs. But we'll
okay,
talk.
Okay, all right.
But here's the thing. I just think you never know when Ben Roethlisberger's at this point is going to have another one of those five interception games.
Yeah.
But I do think.
I'm sorry. The most entertaining game, I think, is going to be the late Sunday game.
Oh, yeah. That is the game. Going to be the game. Real quick, I do think it will be Pittsburgh-New England in the AFC Championship. Right now, I am calling my shot, Kevin. The winner of the New Orleans at Minnesota game will be the team that represents the NFC in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah. This is interesting, too. Minnesota's playing at home, which is where the Super Bowl's going to be.
Yeah.
But if you want to play the Super Bowl in your home stadium,
never happened.
How important is that to you to try and win this game?
Oh, it's huge.
And win another one, you know?
So, okay, I want to take a couple of things here because there's something that did happen in the New Orleans-Carolina game that I think is actually very big for this game. New Orleans lost one of their starting guards to a broken leg. You don't want to lose one of your starting offensive linemen right before you play the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
I mean, the Minnesota defense all year has been insanely good. I mean, they have shut down pretty much everybody they've played. I think this whole comes down to is, are we going to find out if Case Keenum's for real or not? If Case Keenum is for real, the Minnesota Vikings are going to win this football game. If the Case Keenum we've seen in the regular season reverts back to the Case Keenum that we've known and loved for the last few years in the NFL, New Orleans is going to win this going away because it comes down to that. It's the New Orleans offense versus the Minnesota defense, and the Minnesota offense and how they play is going to determine this game.
And Drew Brees and Alvin Kamara too, man. So I have a question here. So if Minnesota wins this game, they will have to travel to Philadelphia if Philly
Correct.
Wins, or if Atlanta wins, Atlanta has to go to Minnesota,
right, which is even more incentive. I mean, you need any more, but still.
So Minnesota has a chance to win out and then play the Super Bowl at their home stadium.
Exactly. And the thing, you know, if Atlanta wins and Minnesota is going to host the NFC Championship game if they win, if that's not some extra incentive.
That's a word I was looking for earlier, incentive. Thank you.
So
if New Orleans wins and Atlanta wins, Atlanta has to go to New
Correct.
Orleans, right? Okay. All right.
So, okay, Kevin. Who do you have in the title games then for next week?
I think it's going to be New England and Pittsburgh. And I think it's going to be... I'm going to give it to the more seasoned playoff team right now. I'm going to give it to New Orleans hosting Atlanta.
Interesting. I think
there's just too much of a big question for Case Keenum right now. If Minnesota can win this game, then by all means, it's going to be theirs. They're going to take it all the way to the Super Bowl.
And then
lose to New England.
I have to say I am probably rooting for Minnesota at this point with the teams that are left in the playoffs.
I am too. If we're going to say who we're rooting for, I'm rooting for Minnesota. Yeah.
I do think it's going to be Atlanta at Minnesota for the NFC Championship game. It'll be Pittsburgh at New England. I'm not going to make picks for the Super Bowl yet because too much can happen in those games. But you know what, Kevin? We have the Reitzel Playoff League.
Yes, we did.
And I think Todd Gurley hurt a bunch of people this week.
Oh, God, yes. You know, we were expecting, even if they're going to lose the game, we were expecting a lot more from Todd Gurley. So let's back up here. I invited a lot of my fellow friends from my fantasy leagues to join me for the NFL playoff challenge in the Reitzel playoff league. And we got 15 people in this, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Including yourself. And I told people, I basically said it's a marathon, not a sprint. And the trick to this game is if you play a player more than once, the next time you play them, you get double points. So even if you start players that are on a first round bye, you're not going to get any points from them from the first set of wild card games. But when they do have to play the next game, the divisional games, you're going to get double points. And if they survive, then they get triple points, and then they go into the Super Bowl with quadruple points. So I ended up at number 14 out of 15 because I pretty much started most of the Patriot players. I did start – I did throw in Antonio Brown, but I started Todd Gurley as one of my running backs. And that backfired because not only did he lose, he also underperformed. Where did you end up here? Which one's your
pick? I had 32 points.
32. Oh, you're at K Sports Picks. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Okay. Let's see who you started. You started Tom Brady. That's smart. Yep. Todd Gurley and Alvin Kamara. That was smart. You started Alvin Kamara. Okay. Antonio Brown, Tyreek Hill, Rob Gronkowski. I also started
him.
Okay,
now let me explain Tyreek Hill pick real quick, because I figured Tyreek was going to have some kind of long bomb play in that game for big points. And right. I thought, okay, worst case scenario, I get him against New England. Tyreek's still probably going to have some kind of long bomb play. So I figured, if nothing else, even if Tyreek ended at New England, he was going to get me a couple long plays. So that's why I went with Tyreek Hill.
Right.
Now
your good play, Alvin Kamara, was good, even though he only got 9 points. You're gonna go into this next game though with him scoring double points, so that's good. What did I started with here? I want to go back here. So a lot of people that did, like, for example, let's look at first down order. That's our friend Michael Meunier. He started Breeze, Kamara, Gurley, Jones, Hill, Kelsey, Lutz, and Jaguars. And they all did pretty well. That's why he's currently in first place. But he's banking on, the majority of the main Saints players to go deep into the playoffs. He did not choose one Patriots player, which is interesting. It's going to see if that comes back to bite him in the butt or not. He's kind of going NFC happy here. He lost on Todd Gurley as well, like I did. He started Julio Jones, which was smart, because now when he's going to get double points on him going into the second round here.
Now, the one thing I will say about the playoff challenges is I look back to last year when you came out after the week one and dead last.
Yes, I did.
And then
I ended up winning, yep, didn't I?
With the double points bonus, you've got to take that into consideration. Now, Kevin, who do you have for possible pickups this week that you might be eyeballing? Because I think there's some people who are going to think, oh, you got to jump over to these certain players. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's some of these superstars that you may not have picked up that you're, like, for instance, at running back. I wouldn't touch Le'Veon Bell. Jacksonville's defense is
I wanted to, as much as I hate to say this, I went Patriots heavy because I have to be realistic. Yeah. And so I started most of the, I started Tom Brady, Deion Lewis, who's been money all year.
I am doing the same thing, my friend.
I started Brandon Cooks, their leading receiver. I started Rob Gronkowski, I started their kicker, and I started their defense. So going into the second game, this divisional round, they're all going to give me double points. I had to start Antonio Brown just because he's Antonio Brown. Now, I know the eventual winner of the AFC Championship, I'm going to lose out on Antonio Brown or all of the Patriots that I started if they get upsetted by whoever does do that. The question was, who am I going to start in that Todd Gurley pick that I started? So right now I'm looking at Alvin Kamara.
Now I started Kamara, lost Gurley. I'm putting Deion Lewis in that Gurley spot for this week. My one wide receiver, I lost Tyreek Hill. I'm going with Julio Jones. Philly's secondary is terrible. That has been their Achilles heel all season long. Now, at kicker, because I lost my kicker because I went with Harrison Buckner, I'm going with Matt Bryant, who hit 250-plus yard field goals against the Rams last week. So, and then I am carrying over my defense because I did play the Minnesota Vikings defense last week. So,
That's a gamble, though. That means, are you expecting them to make it to the Super Bowl then?
Actually, Minnesota was my favorite to make the Super Bowl out of the NFC. So
you might be right. We'll see. We'll see.
I mean, their defense has shut everybody down this year, like I said. And I'm getting double bonus points from Minnesota, too.
Well, my buddy Bob and I, let's see, where does Bob have his standings right now? We have a little side bet we always do with this challenge where whoever the loser is has to find a unique item that has the winner's favorite emblem on it. Not just like a hat, a t-shirt, or a jersey. It has to be something kind of unique. So it's going to be interesting. And he did a similar thing. I think he chose Tom Brady. He also chose Kamara and Gurley. The only other two Patriots, though, he chose was Gronkowski and Steven Gronkowski. But he did choose the Vikings defense, the Michael Thomas Saints. So everyone's is in the second round except for Todd Gurley. So he's got to make that adjustment right there. So he's in good shape to go forward as well, depending on his other picks. So we'll see.
Yeah. So, well, I think that kind of
it's a fun league to be part of, though. Yeah. It is to kind of it's interesting to see what happens here, and if it's going to be interesting to see if the Patriots get upset, because that's going to throw a lot of people off.
A lot of people's playoff leagues are going to be down the drain at that point. But well, my friend, I think we've kind of wrapped up everything we could talk about for the divisional weekend. I know you're going to get ready to play with your Chucky doll.
Yes, I may have ordered a Chucky t-shirt or something, maybe.
But should we talk about what else people can listen to on the Fandom Podcast Network, Kevin?
Sure, if you put it on the notes here.
Well, come on.
But I know it by heart. I know it by heart. First of all, we got Blood of Kings. We got our little year-end wrap-up show coming soon that you were part of, as well as Mike talking about this last year, Blood of Kings. And we did our Dwende two-part episode, which is one of the best episodes of the TV series. And Norm and I, last night, we just recorded our what we're planning on doing coming into the new year. And we got a little personal, too. We talked about some of the stuff that we've been up to and our personal stuff and other fandoms that we have. And then we took some we answered some questions from the fans from Blood of Kings about what they'd like to see us do. So that's what's happening on Blood of Kings. And, of course, Culture Clash, we got some fun stuff coming up on that. We got some new segments we're really excited about. We've got the countdown to Ready Player One. We're going to talk about certain things of pop culture that's mentioned in Ready Player One in the book, knowing that it may not make it to the movie translation that Steven Spielberg's going to do when that movie's released in late March. But there's just so many great 80s pop culture stuff happening that we thought we would highlight those and call that Countdown to Ready Player One. And the other segment that I'm happy about that we're doing is we're counting down to Avengers Infinity War. Both you and I are going to rewatch each of the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies, starting with Iron Man, which we're going to be talking about this week, and go each week movie to movie, including the new Black Panther movie, and follow and kind of look back at these movies when they first come out. And we're going to be following the cinematic release, and I'm really excited about those, man. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what I'm very excited about, too, is Discoville's coming back, Kevin.
Yeah, it is.
We're gonna get
yes,
in, it is. We're gonna get oh, into boy, all that crazy that, goodness.
Boy, did that first episode of the first season after the break, did that really take us somewhere, man? That was really good.
Yeah, Discovery discovered something, all right. But and of course, we're still gonna be talking some Orville things because we love the Orville here at the Fandom Podcast Network. We're going to talk all things Discovery, yep. And we're going to throw a few other fun things in there. There might even be something from a Black Mirror coming up soon. So,
yeah.
You never know. And, of course, we've got Couch Potato Theater, Kevin, which we've been having a lot of fun with. You know, we did Doctor Who. We've done a little Doomsday, Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man. But I'm really excited about what's coming up soon in the month of January for Couch Potato Theater because it's one of my all-time favorite guilty pleasure movies.
Me too. We're doing a little bit of Cash and Tango?
Tango and Cash?
Tango and Cash.
Cash and
Yeah,
Tango.
I'm excited about that. I'm going to be working on another one, which I haven't even told you about yet. I'm going to wait to talk to another party about it, and I'm going to talk to you about it. But our friend Blair from Australia?
Yes.
Blair Hiscock? Oh, yeah. I met him when I went to a Gold Coast where I met Adam and Macca, and Aaron and I went to say hi. And he wants to come on the show, and he wants to do a Couch Potato Theater. And he recommended a movie, which happens to be a movie that Aaron loves, and I'm going to let her know about that. And so we're going to have a full schedule of Couch Potato Theater this year. We're looking forward to it.
Absolutely. And, of course, the Time Warp. You did an amazing job with 1987. But I understand there might be some malfunctioning in the flux capacitor, Kevin.
Yes, we are not going to be tackling 1988 this year. No, we're going back in time, a little bit farther back to what I'm going to quote Aaron by saying probably the most 80th of all years in the decade of 1980s, and that's 1985 that brought us Back to the Future, Goonies, Breakfast Club, Mask, just a bunch of great films and a lot of great culture, pop culture, and some really good music and television. So we're going back to 1985.
Kevin, I just have one question for you about 1985.
What the hell is a gigawatt? That's going to be a fun year. There's some good movies on the list. Remember Commando?
Commando came out in 85. Again.
Remember Rocky IV? Fought the Russian?
Yeah. USA. And of course, we've got the folks over at Good Evening who are the masters of suspense, especially when it comes to the king of suspense, Alfred Hitchcock. Kevin, I always feel educated after that show.
Oh yes, yeah, they lay down that knowledge, and it's a genre that I think a lot of people should look into because, Alfred Hitchcock was a genius. So check it out.
Well, with that, I think it's time to go enjoy the next round of playoffs. Kevin, by the way, you won the Spin the Bottle. You're going to get to spend the weekend in the closet with Jimmy GQ.
Oh, that just sounds really weird when you say it like that.
Well, I had to get you back. Dude, really? Don't think. I mean, I had to get you back.
Really,
your
the
comment.
Spin the bottle joke.
Well, you were talking
I can't
about
believe
me
you
loving
went there.
Jimmy. Well, you talked about me loving Jimmy Garoppolo more last week, so don't think I didn't notice that.
I have a new boyfriend. His name's Chucky, man.
Oh boy. I always saw you as the older man type, Reitzel. I think
Chucky's back.
I think on that note, both Kevin and I are probably suffering from concussions. So
yeah, we are.
Without further ado, it's time to make the play and head deep into the end zone. Thank you all for listening and enjoy round two of the playoffs.